Welcome to Double Impact, the podcast that takes you into the world of impact innovation and investments in Israel. I am Alina Shkolnikov-Schwartzman, and I head impact entrepreneurship for the Edmund de Rothschild Foundation in Israel. On our podcast, I set to interview top professionals in this field, entrepreneurs, investors, and field builders. And together we take a deep dive into our local ecosystem. Today, I am incredibly proud and humbled to host Sir Ronald Cohen. He is the chairman of the Global Steering Group for Impact Investments and the Portland Trust. He's the co-chair director of Social Finance UK, USA, and Israel, and co-founder and chair of Bridges Fund Management and Big Society Capital. The list goes on and on, but for the past two decades, Sir Ronald pioneered innovation and investment and has been driving impact investment both globally and locally in the communities where he is located. I'm so honored to talk to you today because I can honestly say that one of the first people who got me inspired to hear and read and be so interested in impact is you. And I think that what is really exciting is that lately you have added to your many titles the title of best-selling author, which is very exciting with a new book on impact. And I would like to actually start more with the personal side of things. So your personal story is fascinating. If we can take just the first 2 minutes to hear it from you.
First of all, it's a great pleasure to be here with you. My life started off in Egypt, and I had an upset in terms of my existence in that my family and I were kicked out of Egypt as refugees after the Suez Crisis and left Egypt in 1957 for the UK. And I lived in the UK, you know, since then, but you're probably aware that I went into the venture capital and private equity industry. And then about 20 years ago, I began to focus on how we can use investment to tackle some of our big social and environmental issues. And that put me on the path to impact investment. And today we would say that impact investment is leading us to impact economies. So it has become a major movement across the world now.
I want to take you to that pivotal point where after being very, very highly successful in the venture capital field and being considered one of the forefathers of venture capital in the UK, you realized that you wanted to make a shift from finance only to finance and impact. What did that look like?
It's very exciting, actually, because it has a lot of similarities with the tech revolution. And my early days as a 25-year-old, thinking about setting up what became Apex. The world today is being driven by three major forces which are driving impact forward. The first one is a big change in values. We're all aware on this podcast that people don't want to work for companies now that are creating harm. They don't want to buy their products. Investors have become aware of that, and so now we have more than $50 trillion going through ESG investing to achieve more than just profit, to achieve impact. And that force is meeting the force, which is very powerful in Israel, of innovation and technology, which enable us through artificial intelligence, through machine learning, through augmented reality, through computing and the genome, to deliver impact globally in ways that humanity could never previously contemplate. And those two forces are meeting the force of technology in the area of measuring the impacts of companies. So we are on the brink now of a world of impact transparency, where we see as clearly as we see the profits of companies, their impacts on people and planet, through their operations, through their employment, and through their products. These three forces are going to transform entrepreneurship, business, investment, and therefore all our economies. They're going to shift them from a risk-return model, which we've known for more than 200 years, to a risk-return and impact model.
So I want to double tap on that, on the risk return and impact model, and really the frontier that we're seeing today being led by the GSG is the impact weighted accounts. And I would love to hear from you, A, why you thought about the concept or how you thought about the concept, and B, why is it so important? Because we've been talking about this idea for the past few months in different settings here in Israel. And I think that it's really important for listeners to understand why this is really what's going to make this market into a viable financial market.
So 3 years ago, it became obvious to me that if we didn't measure impact, the whole of the ESG and impact investment effort, the difference between ESG and impact being not the intention to create impact, but the fact that impact investment measures it and ESG doesn't, that all those efforts were likely to be tainted because people would say, oh, we invested through ESG funds and they didn't achieve any impact at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so it occurred to me 3 years ago that we needed to shift to a world where we could integrate impact into financial accounts. So I turned to Harvard Business School, where I was a student in my early 20s, as you know, to see whether members of the faculty there could help achieve this aim. And I was lucky to discover Professor George Serafim, who is an accounting professor, who believed that this was totally possible. And he's led a brilliant effort, which has provided not just the framework for impact accounting, but actually put on the website of the Harvard Business School under IWA's impact weighted accounts, thousands of companies' impact in monetary terms. We started with about 1,800 companies' environmental impact from their operations. There are now nearly 3,000 of those. This month, we will be publishing 3,000 companies' employment impact. And during the month of July, 300 companies' product impact across 10 sectors. And that basically shows that impact accounting is made possible today by our ability to use computing and algorithms. And it is going to mean a change in the way in which we invest and a change in the way we do business. Because when you begin to measure impact in monetary terms and you can compare environmental and social impact with profit, then you begin to create a race to the top for companies, because investors begin to pick the companies that optimize the three dimensions best, knowing that these companies will attract the talent, will attract the capital, will attract the consumers, will avoid the regulation and taxation for the harm they do, and therefore are likely to be the leaders of tomorrow.
I want to take us into a more macro trend. So we spoke about specifically impact-weighted accounts and how that's going to be affecting the business sphere. I want us to touch a little bit about the social sphere. What are the key social challenges today after COVID that you are most worried about, if you had to choose only three?
The first one that I'm worried about is the challenge of poverty. Coming out of COVID, we're going to see a huge rotation of employment. We had a rotation of employment with the arrival of tech and the decline of smokestack industries, when tens of millions of jobs were lost and tens of millions of jobs were created. Coming out of COVID, we're going to find big firms reducing their employment because they learned to operate on a streamlined basis through COVID. And in addition to that, we're going to begin to see the decline of certain industries like fossil fuel industries and the creation of new ones like clean energy and new approaches to education and health, of course, following COVID, which are going to require the reskilling or the upskilling, as we call it today, of people who need to change profession, basically. So the first thing I see is a massive social issue. And governments are going to have reduced budgets, and they therefore need impact investment to work. They need private capital and private enterprise to deliver impact alongside them to bring these solutions. The second big challenge is the challenge of helping emerging countries along the way to full development. Because what COVID has done is to heighten the gaps between the more vulnerable and the better off. And if we don't deal with the issues that COVID raises, of course, the health issues, first of all, vaccination, and when we see the challenges of spreading vaccines widely enough in the developing world in order to save lives there, but also to protect lives elsewhere on the planet, because we see these variants spreading and so on. And so we can see that innovation is going to be required in improving the progress of developing countries. Health-wise, education-wise, we have nearly 800 million children who are not learning in and out of school. That's a massive global challenge, and we have to start addressing education seriously now. And we can see that the tools of impact investment, pay-for-success tools, development impact bonds, and other pay-for-success mechanisms can enable us to deliver real impact much more effectively than old ways. Mm-hmm. And the third is really for government to provide the transparency on corporate impacts, which we're capable of providing technically now, to mandate it so that investors and consumers and talent can all look as reliably on impact data as we do on financial data. And I think if we can manage to deal with these three major issues, the issues of unemployment, the issues of emerging markets versus developed markets, and the issue of impact transparency, then we can come through this period with a much fairer recovery and a much more sustainable world.
So you touched upon both the role of government and the importance of government in this process, and the role of business and the importance of business. But I also want to touch upon chapter 5 in your book and ask you about the question of what is the role of philanthropy or impact philanthropy, as you define it in your book. How do you see that, not just in general, but specifically in the post-COVID era? Has the role of philanthropy as the catalytic driver of this field changed in the dawn of post-COVID?
It has, because the dawn of post-COVID increases the challenges, and impact investing provides a better way of delivering solutions to them. So if we take the example of education post-COVID, we can't continue to provide grants and aid for education. If you look at the results, the outcomes achieved by grants over the last 10 or 15 years, they are all over the place. They go from 5% effectiveness to 90% effectiveness. Half of all grants given didn't deliver any impact at all. And so we need to begin to measure outcomes. We need to begin to pay for outcomes so that the promise to pay enables a charitable organization to raise investment money from philanthropists and other investors. We need philanthropists, therefore, to begin to measure the outcomes of their grants, to shift 10 or 20% of their grant making to pay for success, to use their endowments to achieve the missions of their foundations, so that we don't find ourselves with 95% of the assets creating problems and our 5% grants each year trying to resolve the problems we've helped to create. So there is a revolution taking place in philanthropy, and the ability of philanthropists today to catalyze investment flows by providing philanthropic money, which may be part of a blended finance instrument, is going to be extremely important. So we need philanthropy to step up and lead now. And many of the new tech entrepreneurs in Israel and elsewhere are the most receptive to this type of thinking. So I'm hopeful that with their newfound wealth, they will begin to apply the lessons of impact philanthropy.
I could not agree more. I think that what's really interesting, and specifically in Israel, is the fact that it's a little bit of a different ecosystem than what's happening globally. I mean, every country is different, of course, but in Israel, we've really seen with the Startup Nation and the tech revolution, a very interesting niche being developed here. And I think that Bridges has really been able to capitalize on this idea. And I would like to ask you how you see the impact ecosystem here in Israel, and specifically what led you from this to open Bridges here locally.
I've just came this morning from the Paris Center for Peace and Innovation, where they launched their second cohort of entrepreneurial innovative companies. And there's a separate section today for sustainable businesses. About a third of the 45 businesses fit into the sustainable business area, where most of the companies are trying to bring solutions that improve the world, as well as products that are capable of delivering a profit, with business models that deliver impact and profit hand in hand. I think the Israeli ecosystem is particularly ripe for the use of innovation to achieve impact, global impact at scale. The new technologies, artificial intelligence and machine learning and augmented reality, to which I have referred, are areas of strength for Israel. And these technologies are disrupting the business models of businesses in every field. And so Israel really does have the opportunity of becoming impact nation as well as startup nation.
So on the very optimistic note of hopefully becoming an impact nation, I would like us to start our lightning round. And I will ask you a few quick questions, and I would love to hear your one-line thought about the answer. So the first question is, if you could recommend a book or a podcast or a movie that you recently saw that you think can really allow listeners a door into the world of impact.
Well, I think David Attenborough's broadcast about the effect of the environment is one of the door openers to what is really happening on our planet and the dangers before us if we don't shift businesses and our investments to bring solutions to the environmental crisis rather than keep aggravating the problems we face. And the same, I hope, will happen with a movie that looks at the way in which impact investment can create positive social improvement, because the social inequalities we face in Israel and right across the world, which have erupted in revolts and Black Lives Matter and the Gilets Jaunes and so on, and marches indeed in Israel, you know, almost a decade ago. And now those inequalities are threatening the cohesion of our society. The gaps between rich and poor have become just too big. And we need to find ways of helping those at the bottom of the economic spectrum to rise up from that, to find opportunities to make contributions to our economies and improve theirs and their families' lives.
You have been an influence on many thought leaders in this field, but I'm wondering, who is the thought leader that you have been following?
I suppose somebody like Gordon Brown, as a political figure who tried to implement these social approaches as a political leader, is the way forward. It could be that Biden and Macron will turn out to be similar types of leaders. But we need leaders who go beyond their own political survival to achieve some major purpose during their terms of office. Purposes that improve lives in our country and create a fairer, more cohesive society. So those are the leaders that I admire.
And if you had to choose outside of your work and your portfolio, a venture or an organization or a fund that you would recommend listeners follow to look at their website or their blog or their Twitter, who would it be?
So I think today I would say, if you want to look at the future, then look at companies like Tesla. Because here you have an entrepreneur who went into the most competitive old established industry with the aim of shifting it away from the combustion engine to electric vehicles that don't pollute. And single-handedly has shifted the world's automobile industry to electric vehicles while creating massive wealth, because Tesla today is worth five of its competitors put together. So I think Tesla, for a country like Israel, where entrepreneurship is so ambitious today, Tesla is an example of risk-return impact at work. It's proof that you can create greater value and eventually greater profits, I believe, by optimizing these three dimensions, risk-return impact, than just risk-return and forgetting about all the negative consequences you create around you.
And our final question, I hope that you'll answer it honestly. We ask it from all of our interviewees. What is your least social or environmental habit?
Oh, probably too much travel, too many miles of carbon emissions. It may be now with the habits that we've created over Zoom, and this podcast is an example of of something that we might have done in person previously, that I would lead a saner life for the planet.
It's definitely a habit that we all have and should hopefully one day change. And on that optimistic note, I really want to thank you, Sir Cohen, for a fascinating and eye-opening interview. And I want to thank our listeners for tuning in. You've listened to another episode of Double Impact. We could not have created this podcast without our producer, Idan Magadish, and production assistant, Ruth Moati. This episode was edited by Ophir Gal, and Aviatar Elad is our marketing specialist. We want to especially thank the Edmond de Rothschild Foundation for helping us and Impact Nation for making this podcast possible. You can listen to all of our other episodes on your favorite podcast app. Please rate us so that others can find us as well. I hope you will join us soon for the next episode of Double Impact.